This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily on KFH. I'm Tommy Gester. Jacob Albrock will be joining us momentarily here on the program. Max Power producing the show. The KFH hotline is open all morning for you at 869-1240. We appreciate you listening however it is that you consume the program, whether it's live here on KFH, on the free Odyssey app and podcast version. Maybe you're watching the program on one of our many ways to consume the show with our video stream on Facebook, on X, on YouTube, also on the 12 News Connected app. Multiple different ways to join the program. You can also leave your video comments on our video stream as well. We can get to those as the show goes on any one of those social media sharing sites. You can definitely consume and leave your comments there on the show as well. I had to get the show started this morning because Jacob had a wardrobe malfunction this morning, apparently.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot it was Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Max sends me a text. I look at our video chat room, and Tommy's got on a Hawaiian.
I figured goodness, I would throw gracious. You a bone, you know, figuring, you know, like every once in a while, throw you a bone and, you know, let you know I'm not totally opposed to Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. I only own one. This is the only one I have, and I can't.
Well, it's easy. You do laundry once a week. You just wear it every
Wednesday. I'm not going to wear the same shirt every Wednesday. That doesn't work for me.
Well, listen, you can get more. Appreciate the now I'm out of breath. I've been like running around trying to grab one real quick. Good news for me is I have about, I don't know, 15, 20 of these bad boys. So we got it there. Thank you for participating in Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. I assume Max has on his tie-dye, which is his version.
He does.
Just his version of a Hawaiian shirt. And we're here to celebrate on Sports Daily. We are wide open for you today, as Tommy was mentioning there. So get your comments in. We got some fun stuff to talk about. The Shockers. Tommy add a new assistant coach that has local ties that will be very interesting to hear about for a lot of people. We'll get into that. You had Jonathan India. Well, you had Brady Singer's return to Kansas City last night, I should say. I should call it. I think it'll be fun. It's not. Let's look at the trade, basically, right? India versus Singer. India had a couple of hits, but we can revisit the trade as India comes back to Kansas City. Royals lose that game last night, which is far more concerning. Now threatening to fall to or below 500 pretty quickly if they're not careful here. So we'll get into all of that today as we make our way through the show. Happy, what is today? Wednesday? Happy hump day, everybody. How are you this morning, Tommy?
I'm good. Short week. You know, it's one of those weeks when you've got Monday off and you know, you go through the entire week like, well, man, what today? What day is today? Is today Tuesday? Is today Wednesday?
Hence the Hawaiian shirt issue, the wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah.
This morning. I was not thinking of today as a Wednesday at all. Not at all.
And everything on my schedule this week has snuck up on me. Like I totally have forgotten about things that I've got going on this entire week. We kick off River Festival this weekend, and That's this weekend? Yeah, it starts on Friday. River Festival gets going on Friday. I'm a judge for the Sundown Parade this year. I did it last year. I guess I did a good enough job. They're asking me to come back. So I'll be downtown judging the River Festival Parade. It should be beautiful weather, but if you're downtown for the parade, come by, say hello. I don't know if you knew this about me, Jacob, but I've got an innate ability to be able to accurately judge parade floats. That's something I'm really good at, apparently, because this is the second year in a row that I'm judging a parade.
There you go. I don't know that I have that skill, so I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you talk about sneaking up. They're going to get great weather, though.
It's going to be really
nice. We're
going to
get rain tonight. It'll stay cloudy. Stay cloudy through Thursday, and then finally we'll see some sunshine Friday and into the weekend. So Riverfest is usually going to get rained on, so that's a little upside down. They're going to get incredible weather. Yes, Max?
Thank you, Ronell.
Yeah, Ronell Williams with our forecast there on all of that.
More of a Ross Jansen guy.
You know, I'm also speaking of TV. I'm putting on my TV hat tonight as well. I will be on PBS Kansas on their pledge drive. So I'll be hosting that tonight.
Hey, wifey works there.
Oh, I'll say hello. I'll say hello to her for you.
I think she'll be there.
Yeah. So I'll take a page out of your book. I know you'll be on TV today as usual, but rarely every once in a while they ask me to be on TV. So I'll be asking people for their pledges and their money on PBS Kansas.
It is a crazy week. Let's lose track of time. I've got to travel for some meetings this week. I think you have Brandon tomorrow. So it is an upside down week. I know it is for a lot of people. Holiday weeks do that to you when you lose that Monday. But we're here. We're ready to rock and roll now. We've got our best Hawaiians on. I don't know if this is my best Hawaiian. It's Tommy's best Hawaiian. It's his only Hawaiian.
The only Hawaiian I have.
So we're ready to celebrate. The NBA finals roll through. Are we about to have like the lowest market, smallest market NBA finals of all time? Are we about to have the smallest market major sports championship of all time among any sports? We're about to have the Pacers and the Thunder in the NBA finals. The people that love to just stare at ratings for these things are going to have a panic attack here and that make way too much of that stuff are going to have a panic attack. We're about to have Pacers Thunder in the NBA finals. I would love to see the futures bet on that, right? The Thunder were expected. They were one of the favorites this year. The Pacers were not. Like if there is a Pacers Thunder ticket out there, I'd love to see what that paid out at the beginning of the year. So it's not done yet. It's not done yet, but it's probably done, right? Like it's not done, but it's done, as our pal Jim Rome loves to, you know, always kind of say. It's like it's not over, but it's over. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. The Pacers and their star, very good last night. I can't believe they're up 3-1 in that series. I thought they had a chance, but I didn't know it was going to be as dominated as it was. I thought, you know, That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
here they go again.
I think the Pacers have just proven that, you know, from top to bottom, they're a more talented team, and they've got the ability to be able to put their foot on the gas. And then it doesn't mean that the Knicks, you know, that they're not in a position moving forward to be, I think, a force in the Eastern Conference, because I think that they are. Jalen Brunson has shown that he's clutch enough that, you know, they can win games, you know, simply because of his abilities. But I think the Pacers from top to bottom have just shown that they're a better basketball team.
There's no doubt. In this series, certainly. They've been playing the better brand of basketball in this series. We don't have Shreyas Lada today. He is still out. So we will wait one more week to get the latest from him on what's going on with KU, which is nothing right now. Nothing is going on with KU, which is maybe what some people aren't super comfortable with. But we'll get into that. When we come back, though, Brady Singer makes his return to Kansas City last night. All the fun and fanfare that you'd expect. Royals fans were great to him. Everything, you know, all nostalgic there, but the outcome certainly not where the Royals want it. Let's revisit that Brady Singer versus Jonathan India trade a little bit when we come back. And probably more importantly, we'll dig into the concern level for the Royals, who are getting real close to falling below 500 here, and they're about to enter a stretch of games on their schedule that are brutal. We've been telling you, like, the schedule does not favor them here in the month of June. We'll come back. We'll have it at Sports Daily. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. We're coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Glad to be here with you. Boy, you want to know you're out of shape? When the start of the show comes, you got to run up and down the stairs, change shirts, and you're still trying to catch your breath. We're talking, I don't know, 60, 70 feet, probably. We're just two models of fitness here on Sports Daily. These Hawaiians make us look like models of fitness.
I mean, I'm sure that the female population is tuning in droves to watch us in our Hawaiian shirts today.
I'm a little nervous about these days. We're married, ladies. We're married, okay? Let's just settle down out there on the video streams on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Thanks for watching us, everybody, here on Sports Daily. All right, let's talk some Royals here. So it was kind of a fun, you know, thing before it started. Brady Singer coming back to Kansas City, fun until the game happens and the Royals don't play very well again. Brady Singer was good. Brady Singer was very good in the game. He kind of shut him down a little bit there, Tommy. Seven innings, two earned runs. Kind of did his Brady Singer thing, allowed some hits, no big deal, navigated through it. He's very familiar with that start exactly in Kansas City. That's kind of what he did for a long time for the Royals. But he's always going to have a place, a nice place in Royals fans' hearts, I think, because of all of the players. You know, he was the one that was kind of the only one there for a while through that class. Now, of course, we see Chris Bubich being awesome and Daniel Lynch doing pretty well, but Brady Singer was it. Then they traded for Jonathan India, old school baseball trade. Both teams needed something. Both teams had an excess they felt like of something. They swapped him one for one. Well, if we revisit that trade, the reality is it hasn't been great for either team. Neither has a war above one right now, Tommy. They're both negative war players. Brady Singer came into the game, he leaves the game, I should say, with a 4.88 ERA right now. And Jonathan India is certainly not performing at the level that the Royals anticipated yet when they got him. He is still getting on base a little bit, not to the clip that they, you know, that they traded for, certainly. But he's batting .227. No power to speak of. He's not there yet. We've seen flashes, but he's not there yet. So I don't know that you can look at it and say either team won or lost the trade yet, because neither player has really just been out of this world this year. So probably it's a pretty fair trade, you know, honestly. Like, they both. Now, you could also look at it from the Royals' perspective and say, would they like to have Brady Singer right this second? Probably, because they have two pitchers on the IL. but they also have Noah Cameron up. Maybe he wouldn't be in that scenario. But I don't think it's I don't think there is a win. I think right now it looks like it looked when they made the trade and both teams added a position of need and neither player is running away with this thing.
Yeah, I think it's a wash right now. And I don't know if I think you could say that both teams got what they needed to get, you know, with both of their players. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that either one of them are performing at a top level, but it certainly means that they're both of those guys are filling holes that, you know, the teams needed at that time. I mean, the Royals absolutely had to have a leadoff hitter, somebody consistent. And even though he's only batting .227 right now, he has filled a role in the leadoff spot where you know game in and game out who's going to be leading off a ball game. And he's been able to get on base at a decent clip. That could be better, but it's been, I think you also have to look at it from the perspective of what they were trotting out there in the leadoff spot a year ago, where it was an automatic out at leadoff a year ago with all the different players that, you know, tried to fill in at the leadoff spot. And so having consistency there, I think, is important. And so the Royals were able to get what they needed out of Jonathan India. You would like to see him hit for a better average. You'd like to see him drive in more runs, score more runs, all of that. And then Brady Singer, I mean, yeah, like the Royals right this second, they may have Lugo and Reagans on the IL, but I think overall they feel pretty confident in their pitching rotation, as they should.
Yeah, they do. And it's really interesting because neither player is up to even their own sort of average, right? India's been better than what they had last year. He's 20 points below his career OBP, but he's been better than what they had last year for sure. I think the part of that is like Michael Garcia. Remember when they made that trade? No, Michael Garcia wasn't even going to be an everyday starter, right? So they absolutely needed that spot, and neither player is up to their average. So it's just kind of the same, right? It's just kind of both players are helping their teams. And if both players get to where they are normally in their careers, they're really going to help their teams. But Brady Singer gets the last laugh yesterday. Again, hadn't been a stellar year. It's been a Singer-like year, though. He'll have some really, really nice starts, and then he'll have some where he gives up the hits and they just fall, and his ERA will balloon up for that game. So, and Jonathan India is kind of the same. I mean, both of these players, honestly, had a reputation of inconsistency throughout their careers, right? Both had high expectations. Both were high picks. Both all these things. Both have flashed. Both have had even seasons where they look like they were going to hit there, and then it's just been inconsistent. So I think both teams are fine with it. I think both teams would do the trade again, honestly, if given the opportunity. I think they'd, even with the injuries, I think the Royals would do it again because they've seen reserves come up and help them. So there's your opportunity for that. I don't think we're going to get that opportunity again to look at that trade head-to-head that way. But old school baseball trade. There you go. Singer gets the last laugh yesterday. The Royals lose 7-2. It was the bullpen game. You know, I don't know what the expectations for people were. It was John Schreiber who got hit the hardest in the game for the Royals. And, you know, whatever. I wish that it didn't feel as daunting as it does when you are, you know, throwing out a bullpen game in the middle of a series against a pretty good team. The reality is it means they'll lose now 5 of their last 6 series as they play it, and they continue to not play particularly well lately. And in a 4-team race in the Central or an even larger field in the American League, at some point, I think we need to become concerned. I don't know if it needs to be right now. I honestly don't. But when you look at the schedule and you see Detroit, St. Louis, the Yankees, the A's, the Rangers, the Padres, the Dodgers, Seattle, all coming up this month. I think we could crank up that concern level from where it's been, just because they've got to now navigate this while they're not playing well. It's going to be tough.
Well, I think the biggest fear is kind of starting to come true a little bit. And I know yesterday was a bullpen game, but we saw it on Monday with Michael Lorenzen as well, where the pitching is not living up to what it did a month ago.
It's not going
to
be perfect.
It's not going to, and it can't be, right? And like as the season goes on, especially when you're taking on teams that are pretty solid offensive teams, and you listed off a handful of them, like the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Padres, and even a couple of other teams, and their Detroit has hit the ball really well. You know, like that becomes a concern if the pitching cannot be as stellar, as lights out as it was a month ago. Part of that is the injuries at the top of the rotation, but part of that is just, I think, the reality that it's really, really hard for a rotation to maintain the level of performance that we've seen thus far. And so all along, we've been saying, hey, if the pitching starts to drop off a little bit, if it comes back down to earth slightly, you've got to have the offense take a step forward. You've got to have them balance that out a little bit. And we've not seen that. We've seen the pitching tail off a little bit recently. Chris Bubich notwithstanding, he's looked phenomenal. And Noah Cameron's looked great too. But we've not seen the offense come in to pick up the pitching. It's been the other way around this entire season. Now we need to see the bats come alive to be able to help pick up the pitching when it's not, when it's performing at a game, you know, at a level like we saw in last night's game, where it was a bullpen game and they weren't able to do that.
The warning signs for this have been blaring for a month and a half. I mean, they have. It's just like it's not sustainable. What we were seeing through the win streak, even, it's like, okay, this is awesome. It is absolutely not sustainable. Like, they're not going to keep winning games like this, scoring 2 and 3 runs a game. Not going to happen. Like, it's just, it doesn't happen for any team. It's not going to happen for the Royals. I'll make a bold prediction for you. Noah Cameron, in a best case scenario, isn't going to finish this year with an ERA under 1, right? Like, that's not going to happen. Chris Bubich is not going to finish this season with an ERA of 1.45. I think both of these are incredible stories. They're not sustainable, though. And so, Chris Bubich could absolutely contend for a Cy Young, but he's not going to be as effective as he's been out of the gates for the entire season. I'll eat crow all day if Chris Bubich finishes this year with a 1.45 ERA, but it's not going to happen. So, like, we have to leave some room for these guys to not have to be that pitcher all the time. We're seeing it already. The offense has to help them. Now, Salvi, Vinny are picking up the pace a little bit, right? Like, you know, Vinny didn't have a good game last night. Salvi had a hit, but overall, those averages are climbing. Vinny's all the way up to 255. It's okay. It's not like panic time, but the level of concern we should have for the Royals is higher than it was. The bullpen hasn't been as lights out as it was. Again, wasn't probably sustainable what they were giving them during that win streak playing bad teams.
And by the way, Bobby is slumping a little bit too. He's not hit well in the last couple of games. His average has dropped to 289 when he had been consistently over the 300 mark. And he did get on base once last night, but he's not hitting, you know, the ball, you know, quite like what we had saw earlier in the year either.
Yeah, and that'll come. And he's, you know, it's all going to come, I think, offensively. Here's the other, and I didn't even realize this per our conversation yesterday with Jalen Thompson. Apparently, Cags is playing the outfield in AAA a lot. So that will make you feel better, right? If you know that you can plug him in whenever it is that the Royals are ready to plug him in, and you can also have Vinny Salvi in the lineup every day, and now Cags maybe only has to be your 6 or 7 hole hitter, that makes that transition even easier on him too. So there's reinforcements coming. The question is more to me, like, in this tight race, will they be good enough? And I think that's the way you have to look at it.
Yeah, I think that's, of course, the top area that you need to take an eye on. And it's really, the bottom line is the competition in your division first and foremost. And, you know, we saw them scratch out one game against the Twins over the weekend, but you've got Detroit coming up. And man, I'll tell you what, like, if we thought playing the Twins on the road in Minnesota was going to be difficult, wait until you're taking on the team that's got the best record in Major League Baseball in your division. It certainly does not get any easier at all for the Royals. And you've got to have a little bit of compensation, like, because, like we've talked about, we've started to see some cracks in the foundation a little bit, and that foundation has been dominant and stellar starting pitching, and the offense doing just enough to scratch out wins. And as you mentioned, that's just not sustainable, especially against some of the top teams in the league.
They're 7 games back. It is May still. They're in 4th place in the division. They are now out of the wild card because they would be, let's see, it'd be 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Yeah. They'd be out of the wild card today because Houston is now all of a sudden heating up and they're on a, their record is better. So you'd be looking at Yankees, Tigers, Mariners, Twins, Guardians, Houston. Like Kansas City's now not, they're now on the outside looking in. That's like, you got to, and again, this would all be fine if they weren't about to play the schedule they're about to play in the month of June. And it really, like, if you look up and down, like, it gets better in July, certainly, but not that much better. Like, there aren't enough bad teams in the American League for you to ever look at another stretch like you had there when they got on that win streak, where you're going to play consistently just a bunch of bad teams in a row. There are barely bad teams in the league. There just aren't very many. There's like two. You've got the White Sox that are really bad, and you've got the Orioles that are really bad right now. Are you going to say that the Angels at 4 games under .500 are really bad right now? No. Like the A's are, I suppose you could say a really bad team. I don't subscribe to that. They're not very good, but I wouldn't say they're really bad. They're just, you're not going to have a stretch like that where you can go through and be like, oh, okay, here, all right. Sigh of relief here. We're about to play a week of games against Sebastian. It just doesn't happen the rest of the way. The Royals now are basically only playing playoff caliber teams pretty much every series the rest of the season.
Yeah, and look, I think that knowing that the schedule is the way that it is, and then also knowing what they have waiting for them in AAA to be called up in Jack Caglione. I mean, I've been a believer all along that the Royals have needed to be patient with Cags and let him get his, you know, feet underneath them in AAA and not rush the development and not let the burning needs of the big league club influence what they do. I mean, I felt that all along, but then I've also felt like, yeah, the current lineup, it's going to come along and they're going to start to score some runs to, you know, maybe where Cags isn't quite as desperately needed. And that hasn't happened. And so knowing the way that the offense continues to sputter along as far as scoring runs is concerned, also knowing what their schedule entails in the month of June, and that leads me to believe, like, I'm more on the bandwagon of let's go ahead and get Cags called up now. I mean, as quickly as possible now in advance of this really tough stretch in the month of June, because this month, I think, can make or break the postseason prospects for the Royals for sure, based on who they're playing. They need reinforcements, and Cags is hitting the cover off the baseball right now. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, I don't think the Royals quite have the luxury to be able to let Cags get his feet wet in the big leagues first and dip his toe in the water. You're getting thrown right into the fire, which is not ideal, but it might be necessary.
I think it's fine. I will say if he's going to play some outfield, which is what they should have been doing, like I'm okay with being patient with that for a week or two. I'm also okay with making sure you don't lose that year of service time. That, again, you can't go, like when we're talking about a year of free agency, if you project him out and all, like you can't lose that if you're a small market team. That and as frustrating as that is, and the Royals again would never say this or anything else, that's absolutely the reality for this franchise. Like you can't do that. So they do have to be careful. And then the part of it is like, yeah, if you're going to teach him how to play outfield, do that in AAA. That's okay. How about this for you, Tommy? You're just looking at the schedule. How many times in the next 8 games? Do you think the Royals will face a pitcher with an ERA basically above 350?
One time.
Twice. So, like, again, like you look at that and you're like, man, this offense, which is already struggling, in 6 of their next 8 games are going to go up against good starting pitching. That's not promising when you look at it based on what we've seen lately. It's just not. So, continue to hope that Vinny and Salvi can wake up and start driving in runs like crazy like they did a year ago, that Bobby turns it around, you get the middle of the lineup back, and just kind of cross your fingers, hold your breath, clench the butts, and hope that the Royals can just kind of hang on before they can get some reinforcements in here, because they're going to need some reinforcements. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They do. They need them back.
And look, you absolutely have to have today's game. You have to. I mean, you can't get swept by the Reds at home. You want to talk about deflating.
Against Hunter Green tonight.
And I'm just, you know, like, look, like, if you can, I know they're not going to win the series, obviously, after last night, but you've got to at least salvage a game at home at Kauffman against a team that, you know, yeah, Terry Francona's got them playing well, but it's not like they're not a world beater, you know, that they're not probably a World Series contender. You've got to at least get one of these games from the Reds tonight at home. You can't let them sweep at Kauffman.
I believe they have the same record as the Royals, I think. Right now, after last night's win. So, you know, this is the joy of good baseball. You get really frustrated and anxious, and thankfully we've had that for the Royals. If you missed any of our conversation there on Kansas City, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app and get all caught up. Tommy, the Shockers add a coach. Didn't know they were looking for one, but they are. Quincy Acey is stepping away. Josh Eiler. How about that name? Now, that's a name that will be familiar to people, probably, if you're a Big 12 basketball fan, if you know, K-State, KU fan. A, Josh Eiler's K-State grad, grew up in Kansas, from Osborne. A real interesting last couple of years for him. So he was on Bob Huggins' staff forever, and when Huggy Bear got in all that trouble, Eiler stepped in and became the interim head coach at West Virginia. And then went to Utah to be an assistant. They fired their coach, and the next season he became the interim head coach at Utah. So now he is an assistant coach with Wichita State. I'm sure glad to be just kind of like settled in a little bit here. We might try to get him in here, but what a wild ride it's been for him. And, you know, seemingly a guy with that kind of run and experience, he's going to be very handy for Paul Mills on his staff.
Yeah, I mean, he's had just a crazy couple of years and has kind of become that guy that you think about when a coach gets fired. He steps in to be the interim head coach. And, man, what he did with that West Virginia team a couple of years ago, I mean, they were bad. They were really, really, really bad in the wake of Bob Huggins.
All the players left.
All the players left. I mean, like, all, you know, with all the drama with Huggins and all of that, Eiler did a phenomenal job of steadying the ship, you know, ultimately for Darren DeVries to come in. And now DeVries has gone too, going to Indiana. But I mean, Eiler did a really good job of stabilizing things, even though their record didn't indicate it at the time. But he's kind of gotten that reputation of the interim guy that, you know, is the assistant and then comes in and takes over temporarily to steady the ship, you know, until they get a new coach, until whatever program gets a new coach. So I'm sure that for him, it's nice to get into a program that, you know, seems to be pretty stable and no danger of that sort of thing happening. And he gets to come back to the state of Kansas, which is great. I mean, I remember him being at Kansas State. I remember him being on staff there for a season or two before he followed Huggins to West Virginia from Kansas State. And he's done a really good job in his career.
Yeah, it's been an interesting, it's one of those careers that you really like, right? Like it's not traditional. It reminds me of Eric Spoelstra. Remember how he's just like this video coordinator? Yeah. Sometimes when you're just around it a long time, like you're good at it, right? And you've been around Bob Huggins. And look, I don't know what responsibilities and what roles he'll take on with Paul Mills' staff or anything, but if, you know, Quincy Acey, who's been with Mills, they've, you know, known each other, they have all the connections. If he's going to step away, to be able to go get Eiler, who not only is it nice because of the wealth of experience he's built up over the past few years, he's a Kansas guy, right? Like I can almost guarantee you this will be a fun experience for him one way or the other. Like that last couple of years for him, like emotionally and physically and like has to just be insanely intense. And now you get to come back and try and help redo this thing that does matter to the state of Kansas, right? Like we say this all the time. You might be a K-State fan. You might be a KU fan. Kind of everybody wants the Shockers to be good, right? It's just people rally the Shockers a little bit, unless you're playing head to head. And I get all that, but I think he'll help them. I think it's a sneaky good thing for this program. I think Paul Mills needs the help. Every coach in America needs the help right now. Like you have to now acclimate it basically an entire new roster in a summer. That's almost every team across the country is doing this. Here's a bunch of new faces. hope they fit together, because you only have a couple of months to get that figured out.
And it's very nearly a brand new coaching staff too. I mean, remember, PJ Cousinard is on staff now. He replaced TJ Cleveland. And, you know, so Cousinard is returning to Wichita State. You've got Josh Eilert returning to the state of Kansas, joining the staff. So not only is it a brand new roster, but by and large, it's a brand new coaching staff too.
You're going to have people bought in on that staff to what it means to be Shocker basketball and to be good and to, you know, to do all of those things. And, you know, we'll see. Ultimately, it's going to come down to the players and do the players all fit together and, you know, all of these. And so I think that we're to the point. I think it's fair to be excited about next season. Expectations are going to be impossible. I think you can look at it and just say, like, this wasn't one of those years for Memphis, right, where they just have acquired all this talent. This wasn't the year Memphis basically went and poached all the great players from the rest of the league. Does that create an opportunity for Wichita State? I mean, I think it does. I think it absolutely does. Now, Wichita State has to turn everybody over. I don't even know. Like, how do you set expectations in the American Athletic Conference this year? Like, I don't vote on that stuff for the AAC. I mean, who knows? Like, how do you even do that? How do you even sit here and say, you know what? This is the team favored to win this league this year. I have absolutely no idea.
I don't think you can put any stock into it, even for those who do get votes. And honestly, even the coaches, when the coaches will do their preseason polls, how are the coaches going to know, like, what the other teams in the conference
at
are going to look like?
They probably know the players, maybe.
Some of them probably, but probably not in the players playing on that particular team and how it all works together. I mean, they can probably give a little bit more of an educated guess than the media can, but the media doesn't know. I mean, it's just a shot in the dark as we're putting together preseason polls and talking about how teams are going to be ranked in the preseason and all of that. I mean, it just is impossible. It's impossible to be able to give any kind of, you know, decent look at what might happen or might not happen. It's impossible.
So just looking at Memphis does have, they've got 4-star transfers. Of course, they got Doug McDaniel. But I don't think they're replacing what is outgoing, at least in my opinion. Danger isn't going to be there. Haggerty's not going to be there. Tyreek Smith, we saw go to K-State. So it's been a little strange, but, like, I don't think they'll be as good, although they did a good job. They got basically players from, you know, all over the map. They've done it a bunch of different ways. So I'm just looking at team rankings here. They've got the leg up right now. Wichita State is 9 out of 9. So according to 24/7, Wichita State's 9 out of 9. Now, that's mostly because the players that they brought in are, like, not in the rankings in a lot of cases. You know, some of the younger players, they're also not counting, and maybe we don't have official signings on some of the newer transfers here to the list I'm looking at. Although I don't think it's going to change that much. So I don't believe that. I don't buy that. I don't subscribe to that. But again, we're trying anything we can to find, create, understand expectations. I think it's all up in the air, which is why I like bringing in a coach like Josh Eilert, which is why I like bringing in PJ Cousinard. We'll see what, you know, Cousinard has a learning curve here, right? Like, to be a high-level college assistant basketball coach. But he's got connections to these players, which you like. Eilert has had to be a head coach now in the Big 12 back-to-back years in really rocky situations. So, like, almost no matter what happens this year, it's not like it's going to be too big to look down the bench and have that guy be like, you know what, it's going to be fine. Like, here's how we navigate this. West Virginia was a mess when he had to take over because of the circumstances. Utah just fired a coach. Right? Like, that's not going to get too big. So I think, you know, it just makes a lot of sense to have him here. I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he wanted to be here.
You know who it reminds me of a little bit as far as Josh Eilert is concerned? It's not exactly similar, but it's kind of in the same realm. as when Isaac Brown hired Billy Kennedy. Remember when Billy Kennedy was on the sideline?
I thought the same thing.
You know, Billy Kennedy had years of head coaching experience, and Josh Eilert and Billy Kennedy don't have the same career path at all. Right. Like, I'm not trying to say that they are, because Billy Kennedy coached as a head coach for a long time, and Isaac Brown was a rookie head coach, had never done it before. Isaac Brown and Paul Mills are not the same either, as their career trajectory is concerned. But having experience, head coaching experience, on your bench to be able to look down and you know, if you need advice or if you need somebody to, you know, check in with. I'm sure that Paul Mills appreciates having that. And not only having Eilert's experience in the Big 12, but also having PJ Cousinard's experience with some of these players and being able to relate to them, I think is invaluable as well. It's not a knock on the guys that that Eilert and Cousinard are replacing, but I think by and large, this coaching staff is going to be better this year than it has been in Paul Mills' entire tenure at Wichita State.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to say. I don't know if it'll be better, but I think it'll be very helpful this year. I think it'll be very helpful to have. Yeah, it will be better. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I know that I like the. I know that I like why both of these guys are here. At least what I assume would be the reasons that they're here. I like both of those things. Boy, I hope these players can buy in and fit together. I mean, we're wondering that about everybody, right? Like, that's the thing that's different for me this offseason than I think the last two or three, is it's not only the Shockers dealing with this year. It's everybody. Every team just about across the country is dealing with that same thing. They have to now acclimate. I mean, can you think of a team that's even got like 60% of a starting lineup back? I mean, I'm sure there are some, but
yeah,
even like,
I mean,
like the big school, like
Houston. I don't know if Houston has 60%. They've got a couple of guys that are returning. They've got one dude. What's his name?
Uzan
withdrew from the draft, and he's coming back.
Yeah.
And he'll be on the team, but that's not 60% of their starting five.
I don't think they got 60% coming back. I don't know. Like, and again, there will be, like, that exists. I know it does, but like, it's not anybody that you can just think about. Pretty much everybody jumped into the portal or went to the NBA draft this year. Like, you know, that's everybody else moved around because the money's too big to, you know, to not try it, essentially. And you know, that's a conversation for another segment, but when we look at this stuff, like CBS put out their top 25 and one, they've got Houston two, because they just lost a player. Who did they, somebody jumped away from them. I can't remember who it was. Do you know, like, and I've lost track. BYU is their third ranked team right now. BYU.
I'm not surprised.
Their top 10 scores.
I am not surprised.
They're all starters.
That.
Maybe they're the exception here. You know, their 26-year-old team that from a year ago is maybe they're all coming back. Maybe that's why they're up there. Maybe they're the exception to the rule we're talking about. But you know, Purdue, they're up there. So I'm looking at these rankings: Purdue, UConn, Florida. I don't know about starters, but a lot of them are returning players. So that's why. I mean, that's why you get those rankings, but I'll bet it doesn't finish that way, right? Some of these teams are going to gel right away and be really good. All right, we'll come back. We got another hour of Sports Daily. Keep it here. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away. All right, welcome back, everybody, to another hour of Sports Daily here on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. Thanks for being a part of the show today, whether you're listening to us on KFH, whether you're watching us on the video streams, 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, or listening to us on the Odyssey app. We appreciate it. Great deal. Thank you. Max is here. Max is watching hockey. Just trying to, you know, load it in. You think this is the year Canada breaks the streak, Max? Edmonton, yes, assume you think we'll get through there. They're gonna be able to.
Edmonton will beat Florida. It'll probably take them seven games, but Connor McDavid, represented by Robert Gordon Orr, will not be denied.
Represents that his agent?
Yes, Bobby Orr bought Bob Wolf's thing so he wouldn't let players get ripped off like he was.
Okay. Way over our heads here, Max. But Max has got an eye on hockey. We're watching the NBA playoffs here. We've got Terry Bradshaw weighing in on Aaron Rodgers, which we can get into in the next segment.
I love that. I love that story. I can't wait to talk about that.
A little bit of fun there. That's you can imagine what Terry Bradshaw thinks of all this. We hit on the Royals. We may do a little bit more of that. As we make our way through, it's kind of that time. It's kind of that time. We want to say thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of this program. As I went out and crammed in a quick 18 yesterday, Tommy.
Wow,
weather was perfect. Got to play. Got it done in about 2 hours and 20 minutes.
And it was cart path only, I'm assuming, right? And you were able to play in 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, shot a 94.
All right.
Best round of my year. And I bring all that up only to say I made it to 17. So I bring all that up to bring up the Wichita Open. So the Crestview, if you haven't been out there, if you haven't seen it, and you're going to head out there for the Wichita Open, is doing it a little bit different there on 17. So you know how people probably that listen to this show are going to know what we're talking about when we talk about the Open, the massive towering grandstands of 17. That's not going to be that way this year. They spread them out. And so they're shorter and they run sort of down the sides of the fairway. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's not going to be as hot as the tall towers get. I think you'll have a much, 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 much better view of the playing of the hole. And I don't know how the party aspect of that will look, but you know, it will be good. I assume there'll be just, you know, more drink stations or whatever they're going to do to spread that out. But it's going to be really, really cool. It looks awesome back there. I think that's going to be something that people really enjoy this year.
How'd you do on 17?
I think a bogey. Okay. I think I bogeyed. I was on the fringe. I was fringe on my tee shot. But on the other side of the green. So a long way to go.
One of my favorite things to do is when the grandstands are up, and it's going to be different now that it's not super tall. But one of my favorite things to do is when the grandstands are up and I'm playing the course, to use the grandstands as a backboard. And ricochet it off the grandstand onto the green. Cause you get a free drop if you end up like going into the grandstands or under the grandstands, whatever. I do appreciate that.
We played the whites. I should say that we played the whites. Now, that was it. I have not done that this year. Guy I played with, who you know well, gave you a hard time about this, but we played the whites. It does change that course for me.
Yeah, I don't mind. If you're a lot of times, I think people should play a tee closer than what they actually do.
Yeah.
Depending on your level of skill.
I just have always played the blues for no reason whatsoever. No idea why. Just have. And it definitely changes the course. What's interesting for me is I get, you guys give me a hard time, rightfully so, about my driver. I have like a 15 or 20 year old driver, but it plays really well to Crestview North. Like, cause you need a lot of tee shots to go about 235, which is about what I hit that driver. So now when I was up to the whites, I was like, okay, hang on a minute. Like I might actually be in trouble with my drive here. So that was it. That was an interesting change for sure. But the course is in great shape, even after it was a little spongy yesterday. But thanks to Crestview. Can't wait to get out there for the Wichita Open. Can't wait for everybody to come see us out there at the Wichita Open. Say hi. We'll be out there broadcasting live Thursday and Friday. So that should be a lot of fun.
We're going to give away some chances to play golf out at Crestview in the month of June. So we've got coming up. That'll be fun. Their member guest tournament starts tomorrow, which is always like the big spectacle of the year for members. Yeah. So they've got that going on this weekend. So it's a busy time for the folks over there at Crestview.
Yeah, that's not something I'm quite ready for. I have a hard time, as do you and anybody with young kids, with like the, I'm going to go play a round and I might take like three and a half hours. The member guest is a big commitment.
You've got three days in a row and you're probably talking 6 hour rounds when you've got everybody out there and the drinks are flowing and they've got a bunch of, fun activities and different things like that. It's a spectacle. It's a lot of fun. It's been a few years since I've done it. As soon as I had kids, I kind of retired from the member guests, but it's a big deal out there.
Let's get people. I didn't know we were able to talk about the giveaway yet. We're not doing this today, but just to prime people up to kind of stay tuned. Would we be next week when we're starting this? So what are we able? We've been talking about this for a while, and I know Tommy's been working behind the scenes on these details. But what are we doing in June for the listeners?
Yeah. So I mean, we talk about Crestview every day here on this show, and we have for quite some time. And we figured, hey, it'd be a good idea to try to get, you know, some listeners to be able to go and play the course. And so starting next week, we're going to give away a round of golf for two every single week here on this show. So what are there, 4 weeks in the month of June? So we'll give away four different rounds for two out at Crestview. So we'll do that starting next week.
That'll be really, really cool. We're looking forward to giving everybody a chance to get out there and check that out. So make sure next week you're on guard there to get that. Also, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here, reminding us that it's a Wednesday and not a, I don't even know what day I thought it was, but it is a Wednesday. Thanks, Prairie Fire. Get us on our toes. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday if you're just joining us for this second hour. So, you know, maybe you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, getting ready to go to work. Just throw on that Hawaiian and you know, it'll make your day just a little bit brighter, just a little bit brighter. All right. So coming up, we're going to hit on this this Aaron Rodgers, Terry Bradshaw. Like every day that this goes on, it's just like, what? Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? I don't know.
Are you surprised by it? Because I'm not surprised by it at all.
No, I'm not surprised that Bradshaw feels that.
No, I'm not surprised that it's been a circus, because it always is. It absolutely always is. With Aaron Rodgers. Nobody should be surprised by that.
I just can't believe the Steelers are putting up with this. I really can't. That organization, like, it just doesn't seem, it seems like something the Jets would do, right? But not what the Steelers would do. And I'm just surprised by that. Kirby Smart sounding off about the transfer portal. We might get into that and digging into why it's so difficult to come up with something to fix it, really. Like, to fix it if you think it needs fixing, and I think everybody thinks it needs fixing, to the level of fixing is probably where people disagree to some degree. But man, like, what, like, it's it, this Wild West just doesn't seem like it needs to be there. So we'll get into some of what is going on there. These meetings that are happening keep generating headlines. We talked about the CFP throughout the week and a little bit last week, but now this transfer portal conversation is getting to the forefront. And when Kirby Smart's the one leading the conversation, probably everyone's going to listen. You know, that's just the way it is. And I don't know what the solution, that one to me is the most challenging and the hardest one to solve. We'll talk about why that is. Later in this hour as well. We can get back into the Royals a little bit this hour. Your calls, your commentary, all welcome. Let's give away some HTO on the way out here. We'll get some sunshine. We're going to get some iced tea weather by the end of the week here. So, you know, get in there, check it out. 26 flavors to choose from. You can get a free one on us right now. All you got to do is text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea, more than 26 flavors to choose from. These are good for East Wichita, West Wichita, and Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply as we continue on here on a Wednesday. A reminder, quick reminder, the Pacers win last night, so you're looking like a Pacers-Thunder NBA Finals could be forthcoming. We'll see Oklahoma City tonight try and, I believe, wrap that up.
They got game four. It's a 3-1 lead for the Thunder.
It is a 7:30 start time here for game five. They have the 3-1 lead, so they'll be going into game five a little bit later, but the Thunder are 8.5-point favorites. We'll see if they can get it wrapped up, or maybe Anthony Edwards can flex and show why he's considered one of, if not the best players in the world. I just don't think they're going to have enough, certainly, to win three games, but we'll see if the Thunder can get that wrapped up as the Pacers win last night.
I'm not going to be shocked if the T-Wolves do get the win tonight. I think that would be on the table.
They got to do it in Oklahoma City, though.
I think that might be on the table. They're not going to win the series, but, you know, at least to push it to a game six. I wouldn't be overly shocked if the T-Wolves can at least steal one in OKC.
Thunder, Pacers. I'm still waiting to see what that ticket would have paid. Thunder, Pacers, NBA Finals. But that's coming too. All right, when we return, latest on Aaron Rodgers. What does Terry Bradshaw think? We'll get into the transfer portal latest. That's all coming in this hour of Sports Daily. Stick around.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Another segment of Sports Daily here on a Wednesday. All right, Terry Bradshaw, Tommy, is fired up about this Aaron Rodgers situation. The quotes are entertaining, to say the least. He's fed up like the rest of us. Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, basically, he just went in during this radio interview about calling it a joke and all of that.
That's a joke. To me, this is just a joke. What are you going to do? Bring him in here for 1 year? Are you kidding me? That guy needs to stay in California, go somewhere and chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
That's amazing.
He's not having it.
That is amazing.
He's not having it. Mr. Pittsburgh Steeler represents the feelings of probably 90% of America on this. Look, when this all started, I thought, man, Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh makes a ton of sense, right? I felt like you can make a case that he's an upgrade over Russell Wilson. There's just a lot there, right? Aaron Rodgers was not great last year in New York, but he was okay, but probably an upgrade for them. And then here we are on May 28th. The draft has come and gone. They've done nothing else at the position. I just it's amazing that this organization, I guess maybe it's not amazing because you have an organization that is so good at everything except for some reason, doing anything at quarterback. They tried with Kenny Pickett. Bradshaw talked about that. He was mad. He said they didn't give him enough of a chance. They never tried to fix the offensive line. He's correct about that. They've had a brutal offensive line going back to Ben Roethlisberger when he would just get shelled back there as a statue late in his career. They don't put an emphasis on the most important position in sports.
I think that the biggest thing is that, it's surprising to me that the front office and that Mike Tomlin is tolerating this, they're tolerating just this waiting game, right?
What choice do they have?
Well, I mean, they could go and find another solution. And I don't think it's Mason Rudolph. I don't think that it's the guys that they have in house. No offense to Will Howard. I don't think Will Howard is going to be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, this coming season. I would be shocked if that happened.
They don't have Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, but there are a couple of other options. They could go trade for Kirk Cousins if they wanted to. I mean, like, they could go, they could, there are some other things out there that they could do. Or I guess at the end of the day, they could ride along with Mason Rudolph. The problem is with the Steelers, and I'm sure this is where Terry Bradshaw is coming from. They have allowed themselves to get into this predicament. This was easily avoided if you are Mike Tomlin in the front office with the Steelers. you're more aggressive this offseason in finding a new quarterback, whether that's through free agency, whether that's through the draft. They didn't do hardly any of that. Yes, they did draft Will Howard, but they didn't use a pick early on a quarterback that they felt like could come in right away. Even the Saints did that, not even knowing if Derek Carr was going to be back or not. They at least drafted Tyler Shook in the second round, and who knows if he's going to do anything or not, but they at least had a contingency plan at quarterback. Really, all the Steelers have done, they've just sat back, sitting on their hands, waiting for Aaron Rodgers to dictate the quarterback situation for that organization. That's the problem. That's the failure, is that they were not able to take matters in their own hands. They are now at the mercy of a guy who loves this. He loves the attention. He loves being courted and, you know, having everybody fawn over him. And what's he going to do? And where's he going to go? And when's he going to make his decision? He thrives on that. And that's a failing of the Steelers organization for allowing that to happen.
Yeah, that's the part that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, it's not that surprising that they don't have a clear answer at quarterback. They haven't for a long time. What's surprising is they're letting this guy do that to that organization. That's it. Again, I said this, that's a Jets thing to do. Like, what are you doing? This isn't what the Steelers do. The blue collar Steelers. Like, what are we doing here? And Aaron Rodgers could still be good. But like, the reality is, like, he's not going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl. And he's not going to play probably more than a season. And I think that's Terry Bradshaw's point as much as anything. Like, he's only going to be there for a year. Like what are you doing here? I'll tell you this. I think Will Howard will be more impactful than Shook. Will Howard is a decent flyer. I've always thought he kind of looked like an NFL quarterback in the right situation. I don't know that the Steelers are the right situation, but they did just trade for DK Metcalf. And, you know, I don't know what their line is looking like now. I know they've made a little bit of progress there the last couple of years, but Will Howard's not a bad flyer. It's just that's a team that is in the playoffs every year. That can't be your only answer, because if you loved Will Howard that much, you wouldn't have waited until the sixth round to take him. And to be fair to Howard, like, it's a perfect situation for him because he's very likely going to get a chance to play this year there. And I do think he has a chance to be a guy in the NFL. But that's like that's not your plan, though, when you're the Steelers. You let Fields go. You let Wilson go. You haven't done anything with Rodgers yet. What is so bad about giving Rodgers an ultimatum and saying, yo, we better have your decision before the NFL draft? If we don't have it, you can go fly a kite.
Yeah, they needed to do that well before the NFL draft. Like, they needed to do that when free agency started. They needed to say, look, we want you, we would like you to be our quarterback, but you have until the NFL draft, or you have until this date to make your decision. And if not, we're going to go in a different direction. And they, to my knowledge, didn't ever do that. And so now you're in this predicament where it's a month past the draft and they didn't really do, they drafted Will Howard, but it wasn't like they really invested in anybody else at quarterback. And now you've got Mason Rudolph, who's been a career backup. You've got Skylar Thompson, who's been a career backup. And now you've got Will Howard, who's an unproven rookie. That's your quarterback room. And they have let now this circus of Aaron Rodgers dominate the headlines. And now you've got the most famous and most successful quarterback in the franchise's history, who has never shied away from saying what he feels, being openly critical, not about Aaron Rodgers necessarily. I mean, he was a little bit, but more about the way the organization has handled the Aaron Rodgers situation. And he's spot on. I totally agree with Terry Bradshaw. Why in the world are the Steelers tolerating this? If I'm the front office, if I'm their GM, if I'm Mike Tomlin even, I'm picking up the phone and I'm saying, we're done. Like, go find another team. We're done. We're not doing this. We would rather go and lose 13 or 14 games next year with the three guys we have in our quarterback room than let you jack us around for another couple of months before you finally make your decision, whatever it is.
There's no way that this ends other than this will be Tomlin's last year. It's going to be a disaster. It's not going to work. They're going to butt heads, and Tomlin will go have his Andy Reid moment and go be a great coach at his next stop and for the next chapter. mean, it to me, like, it's just right there. Like, it's so obvious. Like, what is the best case scenario now for bringing in Rodgers at this point? He clearly doesn't want to be there that bad. You know, like, right. Your best case scenario is like, all right, fine, I'll play another year of football. This 42-year-old guy, like, you're begging him to come play. Like, what is the best case scenario for the Steelers?
And I know a lot of Steelers fans. I can't imagine any of the Steelers fan base is a fan of this, right? Like, I would imagine even before the guy potentially signs with the team, you've probably got the vast majority of the fan base already turned against you. Like, that's not the way that you want to go into a new location. At least when he went to the Jets, and there was drama and a circus surrounding that, but at least the fan base initially was really excited about it. Like, it was, hey, we've got Rodgers coming in now, and he wants to be here. We're going to build an offense around him. Of course, we all know what happened, and he only played 4 snaps before he went down for the entire year. But at the time, the fan base wanted him, and he wanted to be there. And it was like, it seemed like on paper, this really, really positive union.
And I still think it could have been.
This is completely different because of, and if I was a Steelers fan, I would absolutely think this guy keeps yanking our chain and playing with us. And you know what? Screw him. I don't want him. I don't want him on my team if this is the way it's going to be. Go somewhere else. Go retire. Go do whatever it is you need to do. But you're not coming to Pittsburgh. And I would imagine a majority of the fan base probably feels that way at this point.
I don't know. There's got to be some desperation too, though, because that's why this is even happening. Like, this is a team that makes the playoffs every year. I mean, they've been a quarterback away from doing something in the postseason for how long now? Like, they're always in the mix. They just have nothing at quarterback. So I think there's probably desperation, not just among the front office, but probably among fans, because what's the alternative now? And this is why Aaron Rodgers has him by the you-know-what. Like, what's the alternative? And that's why the Steelers are putting up with this, because they don't have a backup plan. This has been their plan, it feels like, the entire offseason, which is so foolish, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Just run Russell Wilson out there again next year versus this, right? Like, what if we knew how this was going to play out, and it would be May 28th and you still don't have a decision from Aaron Rodgers and you're the Steelers, wouldn't you rather just have Russell Wilson?
100%.
And I'm not blaming him for the beginning, because I do think Aaron Rodgers, even if he's what he was last year, gives them a better chance than both of those guys. But you have to have that conversation right at the beginning. Hey, we want you here. We are even going to let these other guys go because we think you can make us a better team. But that conversation has to be had a long time ago with a very clear, not waiting around. You can either sign now or you can go fly a kite, go do something else. And Rodgers, yeah, like, what is Rodgers going to do? He's 42 years old. He's got all the money in the world. He's going to just hang and chill and do what he like.
But don't you think
like,
I mean,
we haven't seen this story before.
The thing about it is, don't you think he loves this?
Yeah, he probably likes the attention.
He loves the attention. He loves the pursuit. He loves the, you know, will you or won't you? He loves the fact that he's dominating the conversations in a really slow time in the NFL right now. All the headlines are about him. He absolutely eats that up. So why in the world would he want to make a decision right now? He's the top story on all of the debate shows. We're talking about him right now. Every sports talk radio show in America is talking about what Aaron Rodgers is going to do.
Helps, right? Absolutely.
Like, he is, for all the criticisms I have of him, and there are many of them, he's a smart guy. He knows exactly what he's doing. And this is very well calculated. Everything, you know, he goes on Pat McAfee, and then, you know, he's at a festival and he's doing a Q&A, and somebody asks him about playing for the Saints and he shuts that down. And then somebody else asks him about if he's going to play for Pittsburgh. And his answer is, we'll see what happens. Like, he loves this. He absolutely eats this up. And so, honestly, as critical as I am about Aaron Rodgers, I don't fault him for eating this up. Like, and because he knows what he's doing, he's calculated. it's more critical of the Steelers that they are tolerating this.
He certainly thinks he is the smartest person, whether he is or not. Maybe he could be, but yeah, I don't. It just like other. Yeah, I could see this. The Jets. This has Jets written all over it. Like there are franchises where like, oh yeah, that I could see that train wreck coming. But the Steelers.
Yeah.
What?
Like I can see the Jets. I can see the Raiders being a team like that. The Giants. Like yeah, there are those teams. I mean, even to an extent, the Cowboys a little bit. Like there are some organizations where there's some tomfoolery going on, and you know you can kind of look at the organization and be like, "Yep, I understand why that's going on." The Steelers are not one of them. That's why it's been so surprising that they've been allowing this to happen.
Well, not normally they're not, right? Like it's not their MO. That's what's been. And that's why maybe it's good that Terry Bradshaw comes out and is like, this is nonsense, because it just is like that is as gold standard an NFL franchise as there is. They're always good. They're consistent. They're loyal. They're all of these things. And they're going to jump into the 40 plus year old Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes and let him string them along. Again, it's not like we haven't seen this before. We've literally seen it every year since he left Green Bay, basically. Like this is the same thing. So maybe they've known this all along. Maybe there have been behind the scenes conversations where he's like, you know what? I don't want to do any of this offseason stuff. I'm 42 years old. I'll sign with you guys later, because I just like, maybe there have been clear conversations and the Steelers just can't really talk about it. I suppose that's a possibility. It's about the only possibility, though, that makes sense, as they are having very honest conversations. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to do any of that, because we know he doesn't want to do any of that. I wouldn't either if I were him, by the way. Like, I get that part of it. But can you not just sign him and say he's hurt or something? Like, you sign him and say he's got a sore hamstring, so we're going to rest him a little bit. Like, I just feels like he's about to pull the rug out from underneath him and be like, nah, I'm going to retire. And you know, maybe that's not a bad thing for the Steelers. I would like to see Will Howard end up starting some games there. Look, their quarterbacks on the roster right now. We have a lot of local flair here. Skylar Thompson, Will Howard, and Mason Rudolph. K-State, Oklahoma State. So that's kind of interesting. Skylar Thompson, I mean, honestly, like at this point, would you rather have Mason Rudolph or Skylar Thompson start a game for you? Both those guys have had pretty similar openings. I do think as it stands, though, Will Howard is the most interesting of those players. When Will Howard had that great season at K-State, I was like, he looks like a pro. He looks like a pro. And he did pro-type things at Ohio State. He's a pretty interesting late-round flyer quarterback. He's at least as interesting as Shedeur Sanders, don't you think? Like, Shedeur's got a much more difficult path as a fifth-round pick to get starting reps than Will Howard will as a sixth round pick. And I'm not even sure which one's in a better situation.
Yeah, but both quarterbacks are in pretty wide open quarterback rooms going into this season.
Right. That's what I mean. As two late round guys who are going to have opportunities, I think Howard's opportunity is even better, because Shedeur has some other decent players there. He's like decent NFL level starters we've seen that he's got to compete with, and all the other stuff he's set up for himself.
Yeah,
Howard's just kind of there.
I don't think it's the wrong thing at all for the Steelers to do to see what they've got in Will Howard. I mean, especially if they don't end up going with Aaron Rodgers or Rodgers doesn't go with them. I would definitely give Will Howard some reps and see if he can get it done. I think the likeliest possibility is that Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback for the Steelers if Aaron Rodgers does not end up there. You know, they signed him in free agency. It's not a ton of money, but there's enough of an investment there with Rudolph that I think that they would like to see him be the QB1 as the backup plan if Rodgers does not end up with the organization. But I don't think it's the wrong thing at all to do to see what Will Howard can give you, whether that's in training camp, in preseason games, whatever that looks like. I think it's probably those two guys. I'm not sure that they're going to fly at all with Skylar Thompson as far as giving him an opportunity to be the starting quarterback. I think it will probably end up being Rudolph or Howard if Rodgers is not part of the team.
Yeah, Rudolph has the familiarity for sure. I agree with that. I think I might like Skylar Thompson better than Mason Rudolph, but you're probably right. Will Howard, if they don't sign Rodgers, how about some bold predictions on May 28th, just because we can. if the Steelers don't sign Aaron Rodgers, Will Howard will be starting games for the Steelers by week 6. Week six.
Yeah, that's a pretty bold. That's a pretty bold prediction right there. I'm not sure that I'm.
May 28th.
I'm not going to roll with that at this point.
Got your Hawaiian on today. Let's get wild with it.
Again, I don't think it's a bad idea for them to see what they have in Will Howard. I'm just not sure he's going to end up being the starting quarterback in week six.
Well, I make that prediction. It's not like, to me, it's not even that bold. It's because I feel like Mason Rudolph will come out of the gates and struggle a little bit, like he does. Let's talk college football here. Kirby Smart is the top dog right now in college football. I think that's fair to say. And according to him, the most important issue right now in college football is the transfer portal window and how many there are. I think more specifically, here's what he said. The coaches are all meeting right now. The biggest decision that needs to be made in college football right now by far is when is the portal window and is it 1 or 2? That's not being decided by us today. A lot of people don't even know how it's being decided and who is deciding. So, yeah, I think if you asked any coach in America what their number one issue right now is, it's the portal and the chaos of the portal. That shouldn't surprise us. I don't know who's going to decide that. I don't know in what order it will be decided with all the other thousands of things that seem to be needing decisions at this point, but it is one. And I don't think what he's saying is even too much to ask, Tommy. And to me, it's surprising. Like, why is it not regulated? Not in the sense that you can't transfer, because that's never going to hold up legally. Like, that part of it, you can just, like, there's no chance they'll get taken to court, whatever. But I don't think it, like, why is it so difficult to say, all right, here's the window. You can't transfer outside of this window unless your coach leaves or whatever, the extenuating circumstances. And if teams tamper, the penalties will be so severe that they won't tamper. And Kirby Smart went on to say, like, what do you think's going to happen if we put this thing in April? What do you think's going to happen in January, February, March? So I think for him, reading between the lines, he would like an early window, right? Somewhere very close to the end of the season, and that to just be the window and be done. That's it, right? It shouldn't be before the championship game is played. If you want to stop the tampering, I would still think that there are the mechanisms in place to punish teams, not players, but punish teams that tamper, right? Like, if you're a coach and you're in contact with a player for another team outside of the transfer portal window, you're done for the year. You can't coach that year, right? Like, if you really want to put an end to it, put an end to it. Kick them out of football. They'll stop if you make the penalty so severe that they won't do it, right? So I think some of this, like, it doesn't seem like it should be that complicated.
Every professional sport has a free agency window, right? And it happens pretty much when the season is done, and then the window closes before you start the season again. Like, that just happens in every professional sport. The NFL has their free agency period happen after the Super Bowl, and teams are not allowed to contact free agents until the new league year starts, and then you can actually have official deals that are signed and all of that. It's a very common and standard thing on the professional side. I don't know why there's been such a hesitation to do something like this in the world of college athletics. And I know that one of the arguments for a long time has been, well, we're talking about academics too. And, you know, these players are being, you know, not being able to get to their new schools in time to start the semester and all of that, which I think is bogus. You can totally find ways to make that work. So why not open a window the week after the national championship game is played in the middle of January and have it run until, I don't know, the beginning of February or the middle of February? Have a month of the transfer portal open. It's the free agency window, basically, for college football. And then you're just done. And you know what your roster is going to look like in the spring, in time for the spring games that these teams do and all of that. And then you don't have to worry about players leaving programs before the national championship game is coached and played and all of that. I just don't understand what the hesitation is on this.
Well, and if kids need to finish their classes in the semester, finish your classes and maybe you miss the spring. Maybe that's a part of the decision process, right? Like, if you can't afford to withdraw and move, and take that semester off for whatever reason, right? Just finish your semester and then go. But I agree. Like, A, it cannot happen before the season is done. That is a problem for college basketball. Watching Will Wade coach a team while he's going to be the coach somewhere else the next day, like, that's weird. You can't do that stuff. You can't do it with players. Make it after the season. I don't even know how long. You can make it longer, right? Make it January to January and February. Make it 2 months. You get 2 months of this, January and February, and that's it. Like, no more. No more movement unless a coach leaves. Whatever the rules are, right, that allow. Because you're not saying players have to sit out a year. You're not changing the spirit of a transfer. You're just changing the rules in which it's regulated. And I don't think there's any legal disputes there, right? There are extenuating circumstances. Those can clearly be laid out. But you do it over a period of time that's determined, and you make the tampering penalty so harsh that people won't do it, right? Like, that goes back for as long as time. How do you keep somebody? Why do we even have laws? Well, you make the punishment so severe, people don't want to break them, right? Like, that's pretty much, that's how that works, right? So if you tamper, if you're an assistant coach and you tamper, that trickles up. At least, at minimum, you're done. You're forfeiting games. Like, what is the harshest penalty you can come up with? If you really don't want them to do it, then make the penalty so harsh they can't do it or they won't do it, and solve this stuff. So this story gets interesting. Brandon Marcello reporting here that one of the reasons they can't get clarity on this is because there's still a bigger picture power struggle right now with who gets to set the rules. And I think the SEC and the Big Ten still want more power, more weighted power in decision-making to come up with this stuff. And because of that power struggle, we can't get decisions on other stuff. That goes above my head, honestly. I don't understand, though, why there wouldn't be a 100% vote on a single portal window with harsher tampering penalties. Because I haven't talked to any coaches that don't hate both of those things. And it's one of those things, too. I think it gets to the point where if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Because everybody's doing it. You at least have to get to the point where not everybody's doing it. Right? I don't know why there isn't. Why is there not a 100% yes vote on that? Who likes two transfer portal windows? There's not a coach in the country that wants that.
Yeah, I think that's the big question, is who can make that decision and who's going to be able to, you know, make that happen all across the college athletic landscape. It's probably going to have to fall into the laps of the Congress, you know, as they're working on trying to figure out how to reform college athletics in general. It's probably going to have to fall to them, because what governing body has shown itself to be capable in being able to actually institute this?
Yeah, and I don't think the government, this isn't their purview, though. Like, because
has the NCAA shown the capability of being able to govern this?
I don't think it's going to be, it's not going to be the NCAA, I don't think.
So it can't be each individual conference, because each individual conference can make their own rules regarding the transfer portal.
They have to be able to get together as the power conferences. That's the division of power, though, that I think is holding things up. I mean, at the end of the day, the NCAA is appointed by these guys anyway. Like, these sorts of rules, they would be enforced by the NCAA, I think, but not created by the NCAA. Somebody needs to create the rule here. And I don't care if it's the SEC. I don't care if it's the Big Ten. I don't care if it's the Big 12. I don't care if it's the ACC. Just come up with a rule and everybody vote on it. Here's the transfer portal window. We're going to make it January 1st to February 28th. All in favor, say aye, right? And everybody can just say, yeah, that sounds fine. We're not going to do one in April, because that's where you get all the tampering crap. And again, this is just football. It's different than basketball. But this is our window. Here's when you can transfer. We're not going to say you can't transfer. You can transfer. That's where you get into some legal challenges. But if you do it, it has to be in this window, except for these set of circumstances that would allow you to do it as a player specifically, because whatever, you're hurt, your coach left, whatever. Otherwise, you got to go then, and you can't go another time. If you do, you have to sit out a year. Those are the rules that you could probably enforce without having to go, because they're self-created rules, and they're not, I don't know that there'd be like antitrust issues there. You're not telling these kids they can't transfer. You're not telling these kids they can't earn. You're just saying you can only do it in this amount of time. And I think that'd be fine. I don't even know. Like, I'd be curious to know what the players think of that too, by the way. Like, we never get players' thoughts. There's not like a union, so it's hard to get a, but do players like this? I know their agents and their representatives like this because they can use it as leverage, but do the players really like this? Do they like not knowing? I don't know that I would if I were a player.
I mean, I'm sure that the players wouldn't mind continuing with the two windows, you know, because they're young and maybe they don't know what they want to do in December, but they might know what they want to do in April. And
the window
getting
can't
them
be December. That's so stupid.
I'm just telling you, like, that may be not pushback because I don't think that's going to happen. But I mean, the players are given options. They've got options on when they want to enter the portal. So if they don't enter it in December, then they get another chance later on in the spring. So right now, the current system benefits the players. Going to one window, that doesn't benefit them, but that doesn't mean that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so hard. This stuff is all so hard. How long do you think this is going to take? Like, when do we look at this and say, all right, this is the system in which we play college athletics, college football more specifically?
Man, I don't know. Are we ever going to get to that point where everything is totally settled?
I think we are. Yeah. Because eventually the legal stuff is going to play out and players are going to get paid and there's going to be revenue share and all that stuff's going to happen. 3 years? I don't know that I – when did all this start? 2 years ago? I always said 5 years when it started. Are we going into our third year of the chaos? I think third year. Yeah. So 2 more years, that seems ambitious. I don't know that we're going to be there in 2 years. It's crazy. It's crazy to see the Georgia coach not like it. Georgia should be at the forefront of this. All right, that'll do it for this Wednesday. Rock those Hawaiians all day long for all those participants out there. I may not be the only one anymore because we got Tommy on board. We're glad to have you, Tommy. Welcome to Team Hawaiian.
One time. Hey, don't get excited about it. It's a one-time deal.
Such a great thing that you've joined the party. We've got Royals baseball tonight here on KFH. That coverage begins at 6:30, regular programming. That'll do it for us. For Max, for Tommy, Brandon in for me tomorrow. We'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.